గోపీజనవల్లభా గిరివరధారీ గిరివర యశోదానందన బ్రజ జనరంజన యశోదానందన బ్రజ జనరంజన యమునా తీరావనచారీ యమునా తీరావనచారీ జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ విహారీ గోపీజనవల్లభ గిరివరధారీ యశోదానందన బ్రజ జనరంజన యశోదానందన బ్రజ జనరంజన యమునా తీరావనచారీ హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే హరే కృష్ణ 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 కృష్ణ
पावन हरि नाम संकीर्तन की श्री श्री राधा कुंज बिहारी की श्री श्री गौर निताय की श्रील प्रभुपाद की समावेत भक्त वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमावों विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्निति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। So this is the topic today, role of authority and subordinate in awakening of taste in the steady devotion and taste. So we will go through a few shlokas from Bhagavatam before we enter into our topic today. Please write after me. Vishrambenatma Shauchena Gauravena Dhamena Cha Shushrushaya Sauhrudena Vacha Madhuraya Cha Bhoho Vishrambena with intimacy Atma Shauchena with purity of mind and body Gauravena, with great respect. Dhamena, with control of the senses. Cha, and Shushrushaya, with service. Sauhrudena, with love. Vacha, with words. Madhuraya, sweet. Cha, and Bho, O Vidura. Does somebody read the translation?
O Vidura, Devahuti served her husband with intimacy and great respect, with control of the senses, with love and with sweet words.
So, he says, with intimacy means understanding the mind. For example, what item he likes to eat, what he doesn't like to eat. You know, there are many things are observed, and you learn over a period of time when you serve someone what is pleasing to them, what is averse to them, what they are very strict about. Like for example, somebody is very strict about punctuality, somebody is strict about cleanliness, somebody is strict about the quality of service rendered, somebody always expects that you understand without even asking. So one should serve the master with intimacy, Vishrambena. Intimacy also has another meaning. That means one should treat the master as a friend. Like we say, Gurau Sudrida Sauhrida. Friend of the Guru doesn't mean you are on equal level or something. Friend means you are always his well-wisher. You want to make sure he eats the right thing. You make sure he gets the best rest. You make sure he is not troubled by anybody. You actually want to become protective, guard for him to enhance his service to Krishna. That is intimacy. And Atma Shauchena means with purity of mind and body. What is purity of mind? One should not harbor any malice or envy or hatred for the superior. Or one should not be competitive, or one should not try to surpass the superior. These are all impurities in the mind. And also one should be pure in the body also. That means one should take bath 3 times a day, as Prabhupada says. One should keep oneself clean. One should not render unclean service. Like for example, there are many people who cook without bathing. Because they feel that once I have cooked and kept, then after this fellow will not trouble me and then I am free. Then afterwards I can slowly bathe later. That means it is unclean body. Correct? Now, then the offering, how can a food be offered to Krishna when it is cooked without bathing? Similarly, Gauravena means with great respect. Actually, how do you know you respect a superior? The color will show up over a period of time. How we conduct ourselves, how we do things. Generally, our attentiveness, alertness in serving is directly proportional to our respect also. If our respect is thin, is not very strong, we often tend to be, absent-minded. We become absent-minded or we overlook some important facts. So we may take it lightly, take it cheaply. We may not. But on the other hand, if we have respect, one of the things we should know, we should never see ourselves separate from the master. For example, recently, this Bari Malhotra ji, Bari Malhotra, he's turning 87 now. So he was one of the very good friends of Srila Prabhupada. When Prabhupada came to, he invited Prabhupada to Pune. And he was the one who gave us this property, on rent, arranged it. Plus he gave a piece of land in Mahabaleshwar also. And he has been a friend of ISKCON always. And he knows his wellness Giriraj Maharaj, his wellness Gopaksha Maharaj and all, since very early days. He calls them by the name, He has seen them very young. Now we are like his grandchildren for him. He is a very elderly person. So now he is turning 87, they are going to put up a birthday. So they told me to write this thing for his. They are going to prepare a very nice, very costly booklet type of thing and gift to him on his birthday. So when I was writing, I felt that although I can write about him, who is the right person who can glorify him? Gopaksha Maharaj, because he knows him as a close friend, and he also knows him since 70s, he knows him. So, although I wrote, and I also, half of my letter I spoke about, it's only Gopaksha Maharaj, you know, always has been speaking about him as somebody who is a well-wisher for ISKCON, everything. And then I gave them the contact of Maharaj, so that Maharaj can also write letter. But why I am telling you, imagine if I write a letter and just give it to them on my own, and then later on they have a function, you know, if Isolnus is not involved, then it is like I am cutting off from the superior and doing on my own. You understand, no? I have to involve, because I am not separate from him. My connection with Malhotra comes through whom? Yeah, Prabhupada Gopasha Maharaj. Because if Maharaj didn't introduce me to him, I won't know him. So therefore, the authority subordinate are actually one unit in accomplishing Krishna's mission. We should never see them separate. If as soon as we see them separate, that means mission goes to the background. Our ego comes in the forefront. Correct, na? Yeah. But as soon as you see authority subordinate are like one unit, like husband and wife are one unit, then the mission comes in the front. What is the mission? To please Krishna, to please Guru Parampara. But as soon as my ego, your ego comes, then mission goes to the back. Then our ego is like a big truck in the front. Yeah. So he's saying Gauravena. Then he's saying Damena, with control of the senses. Why Damena? Because all of us, in our own platform, we can be disturbed in our mind and we can get irritated by a superior's mistreatment. Now, for example, if a superior guru chastises me, and that can hurt my ego, although I may not agree that I am hurt, then we may sometimes not be able to control our senses and we may react improperly. Correct? Now, like you all know that when Shivanand Sen was kicked by Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, it hurted whom? Shrikant. And then when Shrikant came to Gambira, so his irritation in his mind was shown by his behavior while dealing with Mahaprabhu. He didn't offer proper respects, and Govinda wanted to correct him, but Mahaprabhu told him, don't correct him because his mind is not good. Correct, no? So that means he could not control his senses. Damena he could not do. Why he could not do? Because his mind was disturbed. So in this way you will find, one's mind is disturbed, then one cannot do damena, one cannot control one's senses. And that lack of control of senses will come in various ways. One of the ways the lack of control of senses will come is lack of respect, or lack of obedience, or lack of paying attention to the instruction, or lack of control of senses may come in a way to act independently, whimsically also. Independently, yeah. And then shushrushaya means the subordinate should render service. It should always be accompanied by service. Not that one talks a lot and doesn't do anything. And sahurdena, I already told you, guru sudrida sahurdha, with love. And vacha mudraya, and the subordinate should speak sweet words. So these are the things told which she followed our. Devahuti followed in relation to Kardama Muni. Visrajya kamam dambham cha, dvesham lobham agam madham, apramatodyata nityam, teji yam samatoshayat. Visrajya, giving up. Kamam, lust. Dambham, pride. Cha, and dvesham, envy. Lobham, greed. Agham, sinful activities. Madham, vanity. Apramatta, sane. Udyata, laboring diligently. Nityam, always. Tejiyamsam, her very powerful husband. Atoshayat, she pleased. So Visrajya means one has to give up these qualities if one wants to be a good subordinate. He says kamam, lust. Lust means what? One cannot have one's own desires. then one won't be able to render service. Like once Shruti Kirti Prabhu was a servant of Prabhupada, and then Shruti Kirti Prabhu hadn't gone home for years together. So some devotee suggested to Shruti Kirti Prabhu that you can go home, your wife maybe upset for a long time, you have been serving Prabhupada. We have arranged another devotee, Nanda Kumar or somebody. So then when Prabhupada was told, Prabhupada said, oh, really? Okay, so quickly we can go for some days and come. But then he expressed his displeasure in having Nanda Kumar for one reason. He said once he was assisting Prabhupada as a servant. So Prabhupada said, you're supposed to carry my luggage and come with me. I turned behind and saw, instead of walking with me, he is seeing somewhere else in the airport. He got struck behind there because he was staring after somebody. So Prabhupada said, one whose eyes are not controlled, one whose senses are not controlled, cannot be a servant. Prabhupada said, his heart should be to serve the master. If he is staring at some other woman, then he can't serve. Therefore he says, visrajya kamam. And also kamam not only means lust, kamam also means personal desires. One has personal desires. Many times you will see somebody in a subordinate position, especially you will see guru disciples, if you see, the disciple who is serving the guru is arranging for guru to eat prasad. After the prasad, guru will say, I have to rush now, immediately, for the program. And he has to immediately go. And he has not taken any prasad. So what many of the servants personally do, just take some chapati and rice sabji and put like this pack and then take it. Imagine if he gets preferences of, please get me that sweet, get me this item, that item, guru will get late. Correct, no? So one cannot have a very strong personal desires. One has to put aside personal desires. Dhambam means, if one is boastful of one's own achievements and activities, then one cannot serve. And dvesham means competitive mentality or envy for the superior. And lobham means not satisfied in one's position but wanting more facility, better facility. Sometimes you see a personal servant goes with guru. Like in our temple we have kept GB's room, along with that we have a servant room some places. But in some places we don't have a servant room. Like here we have only sannyasi room. So we don't have a servant room. So servant is supposed to stay with devotees in ashram. So then he cannot make demand. Sometimes some servants ask, no, I need a room next to my master. Sometimes we are not able to provide. Which means he cannot actually present his inability to serve because he doesn't get a certain type of facility. If I get this facility, I can serve. Otherwise, I cannot. You can't say that. Correct, no? Therefore, he is saying you can't be greedy for what you want. Whatever is available, one has to be satisfied. Agham, like Ala Krishna Das, got into agham. Sinful activities with bataharis. And madam, vanity. What is the difference between this thing? Dhambam is actually dhambikata, which means show off, show bottle. Madam means you possess some qualification, but you are very proud of it. Apramatta means one shouldn't become insane. Pramatta means insane. Apramatta means one should always be sane. Which means when we all become insane, our anger comes out, or we become displeased, or we gossip, or we talk ill behind the back, or we become naughty, or we put a kapat. Kapat behavior means we show some behavior in the front, show something else behind. That is pramatta. And then udyata means endeavoring, hard working, taking initiative for doing all services wholeheartedly. That is udyata, nityam. In this way, she rendered service. Yeah. Then there is one more verse. This is another famous verse. Yetavatyeva shushrusha karyapitari putrakaihi vadham ityanumanyeta Gauraveena Guru Arvachaha. Etavati, to this extent. Eva, exactly. Shushrusha, service. Karya, ought to be rendered. Pitari, to the father. Putrakaihi, by the sons. Badamiti, accepting, yes sir. Anumanyeta, you should obey. Gauravena, with due deference. Guroho, of the guru. Pachaha, commands. Yeah, read the translation.
Sons ought to render service to their father exactly to this extent. One should obey the command of his father or spiritual master with due deference, saying, yes, sir.
This is very important to us. Brahmo vacha vayame apachitestata kalpita nirvyali katah yanme sanjagrihe vakyam bhavan manadamanayan. Brahma vacha, not Brahma said, tvaya, by you, me, my, apachitihi, worship. So this is the first quality of ideal subordinate, that one should actually worship the master and worship his instructions also. Actually worshipping the instruction and worshipping master is identical. Because if somebody claims to be worshipping master but doesn't follow his instruction, he is actually sentimental in his relationship. And tata, o son, kalpita, is accomplished. So this means completing the project given or completing the task given. And that means he doesn't, just like Hanuman was told to get Sanjeevani Jadibodi. So he went to the Himalayas, but he couldn't find Sanjeevani. He didn't come back and tell the Vaidyaji that, sorry, I couldn't find it. Instead what he did, he cut the mountain only and brought it. Correct, no? And then the Sanjeevani was found out, from that Vaidyaji found out. That is accomplished. That means accomplish the task. Nirvyali kataha, without duplicity. Yeah. He doesn't give any glib excuses. Why he couldn't do something. Generally, whenever we are told to do something, we are unable to do, we deny that we were told, or we deny that it was properly told. We get into a mode of denial. Sorry, I was not properly informed, or I was not told, I was given half information or whatever. Or we agree that the instruction was properly given, but we ask for excuses. We say, I'm sorry, you know, this happened, this came up, that came up, I couldn't do it, or something like that. At least this is better than denial. This is better than denial, yeah. Sometimes we blame other people. You know, he did this, therefore I couldn't do this. He didn't do this for me, therefore. So all the three are ending with the end result of not having accomplished the goal. Correct, no? Blaming others, asking for excuses, or denying. You can remember bed. Blaming, excuse, denial. Bed means you soja. Work didn't happen. It's called storytelling manager, we call it. He doesn't do it. So therefore one should be nirvyali kataha, without duplicity. Yat, since, me, my, sanjagrihe, have completely accepted, not half-heartedly accepted. No, that is not that. I am explaining. So sanjagrihe means you fully accept the instruction, not selectively, whatever you like. Sometimes people's antenna are on only for certain information. They only catch what they like to hear. Like a devotee selling, Prabhu, all of you please kindly put all the boxes from the truck into the Jivada department and then come to the kitchen and there everybody will get 2 gulab jamuns each. Prabhuji, I heard it very well. We have to come to kitchen only, no? 2 gulab jamuns, no? Correct. No? But you ask him, what is the other information? Oh, that I didn't hear. Selective hearing. Sanjagraha means completely accept, full. Vakyam, instructions. Bhavan, you. Manada, okardama. Manayan, respecting. That means he gives respect to Brahma, he is worshipping Brahma and his instructions, and he is accomplishing the goal, kalpita, nirvalikata, without any duplicity. Sanjagriha has completely accepted the instructions. 5 qualities of an ideal subordinate. So these are all very amazing verses. So because he did this, you will see he gets very good instructions from Brahma, will give him very nice instructions, he will give him subsequently. Okay, now we will enter this. See, maybe last session which I did, I can show you a few slides so that you will know what we were discussing last time. Awakening of taste. See, Bhakti Devi's gift of taste for neophytes, we talked about it last time. That she gives even initial taste for 2 things. One thing is for services and for kirtan and preaching. 3 things. There may be menial services in the temple, like in backup or cooking or cleaning, you know, those type of indoor services or outdoor services of preaching or kirtana, like somebody is joining the, you know, kirtan. Even teenagers, they will not chant japa if you tell them, but you tell them to kirtan, they will come. Mridangam, kartal, harmonium, they are ready for it. So in this way, Bhakti Dev gives a taste in the beginning. And our thirst for doing seva, that actually purifies and awakens us. Although we have some ahankar also going along with it, no problem. Keep on doing service, we get purified gradually. And then the 2 functions of taste is, before nishtha, it helps us to resist the temptation. And after, then gradually it attacks the avidya, which is the root cause of all ignorance. And then the second function is the ability to destroy the material attachments. And the taste is awakened after nishtha. That means before nishtha, it helps to resist the temptation. And also the material attachments are gradually weakened. And after nishtha, it awakens ruchi. Correct, no? These 2 are done by the process of developing ruchi. Yeah. And then, the superior spiritual taste enables the devotee to endure the urge for sense enjoyment without succumbing. Correct. And what does spiritual taste do before and after steadiness? This is what I told you just now. Yeah. And then attachment, devotional practices into Krishna. Yeah. In the ruchi stage, attachment is to varieties of activities of devotional service. And in asakti, the attachment is directly to the nama rupa guna lila of Krishna. And then this was the last slide, last time. Should a devotee do seva of his taste as per taste? Actually, this is developed by Maharaj in the coming seminar which I am going to talk today. You can read the last one, Karnataka, last part. Spiritual life is?
Spiritual life is founded.
Oh, second one also you can read, I think.
Sometimes devotees argue that they, as well as others, should only take up devotional practices and services for which they have a liking. To do otherwise, they say, would be to deny the natural inclination of the heart. In effect, making Krishna consciousness a forced practice. Is this point valid? Spiritual life is founded on the principle that devotional service must always be performed under an authority's guidance. Such authority should be infallible, a paurusheya, free from the 4 defects of conditioned life, the tendency to commit mistakes, brahma, to be illusioned, pramada, to cheat others, vipralipsa, and to be limited by imperfect senses, karana patava. However, if conditioned souls make their inclination for service, which may or may not be a forerunner of taste, their authority their authority. They are
that means
not
if conditioned souls make the inclination for service their authority. That means whatever the authority says, whether I like it or not, I will do it. That kind of conviction if they have, then
they are not above these defects.
Yeah. So no, here what he is saying, the conditioned souls make their inclination for service. They are making the service into authority. That means this service I love very much, so some or other I will do only this service. Like that. Attachment service. For example, I'll tell you. There are various type of services. There are some services which may be very detrimental for our spiritual progress. Say, some brahmachari wants to preach through WhatsApp, sending to thousands of people messages, and also the deity pictures, and daily sending something. And then he is increasing the number. He has come to 50,000 or 1 lakh or 2 lakh. And he is getting feverish now because the number is increasing. Correct, no? So he is very joyful that that number is swelling up, but his authorities are not happy because he is dealing with gadgets, he is dealing with net and all these things, and he is becoming weak. They tell him that, Prabhu, you employ some grihastha and let them take lead in this. You know, you pull out, you are a sadhu baba, it's not very good for you. And he says, you don't see the success what I am getting. So he has made who his authority?
Services.
That services is his authority. That taste which is getting, that kick is getting in that. And that becomes his driving force for him. And he doesn't pay any heed to the authority. He thinks authorities are foolish. He says, Prabhuji, you are oldie, please go and relax. You don't know, world is changing now. We are now creating a revolution in the world. You know, you just move aside, Prabhuji. And then in the course of creating a revolution, he is gone. We don't know where is he. His sadhana is finished. No morning sadhana. You know, no advancement in spiritual life. Although he is getting, so what is the taste that he is getting? That is technically called sense gratification. That is the taste what he is getting. He is thinking he is rendering big service. He is simply getting sense gratification, that's all. So therefore he will not survive for a long time. That's what he is saying. That means if your kick you get in your service becomes your service authority for you. That very same service gave you kick of going up, now it will give you kick of going down. Later on, it will kick you out. So that's what he is saying. It's no good, he is saying. Go ahead.
Only liberated souls whose taste comes from ecstatic devotion, the infallible platform, are free from such faults. Therefore, practicing devotees should not allow taste alone to determine their service. The infallible authority of scripture, saints and gurus should always confirm their direction.
Yeah, Guru Sadhu Shastra, one should see it. Therefore, in the path of spiritual life, sometimes the authorities also may entertain the subordinate doing a service of his taste, not wanting to interfere with his inclination. So no problem, they may say. But when will they say no problem? When they know for sure that it is not going to harm him too much. But sometimes the direction in which he is going may harm him and harm the community in various ways, then they will have to stop him. So therefore, this point is elaborated in this part 4 now. And then next class I will complete this topic, this study devotion and taste, this 5-part series. This is the 4th part now. Read the heading, Prabhu. Role of
authority and subordinate in awakening of taste.
That means for you to awaken ruchi, there is a role of authority also and subordinate also. Both have to play their role for you to awaken the ruchi. It's not a one-way process. Like, you know, you sow the seed and Krishna has to give the reins. Correct, no? It's a two-way thing. Like, you know, Arjuna has to fight the battle, but Krishna has to become his parsarathi. Therefore, we say, do your best and let Krishna do the rest. We say, you know, in the same manner, authority subordinate have to cooperatively work to awaken taste, ruchi in the heart of the subordinate. Now, let us see how.
What should a devotee do? What should a devotee do taste runs contrary to the will of authority?
When should be there?
What should a devotee do when taste runs contrary to the will of authority? Prior to
contrary, you know the meaning contrary, no? That means he has a taste to do something, authority is not happy with his doing that service.
Prior to nishtha, taste is sporadic and influenced by unwanted habits. it cannot be relied upon for guidance. Taste at
study. You know the meaning of the word sporadic? Sporadic means sometimes thick, sometimes thin, sometimes ecstatic, sometimes static. That is called sporadic. Yeah. Like you will see a devotee before Nishtha stage, sometimes he is too thrilled and over-enthused. He is like so, he looks like a pure devotee. But another day he is completely running dry, completely hung face. He is flat, he is running very dry, low key. He is telling Prabhuji, I am wondering, you know, whether he will be able to continue Krishna consciousness or not. You know, he is so low. So therefore you find like a sinusoidal wave. Sometimes very high tide, sometimes low tide. Before? Nishtha stage. After Nishtha he becomes steady after that. Yeah, that means, you know, foul weather or fair weather, you sail the ship. You know, you are not going to stop the ship. Whereas, you know, prior to Nishtha stage means, if there is fair weather, I am very jolly to go in the ship. If there is foul weather, I will just park it in the seashore. I won't do my work. Correct, no? So there are people who practically give up their services. I have seen with my own eyes, many places, that devotees who are at one time bustling with activity in the community, leading lot of services, at one point of time they were practically absconding and absent for months together or years together because they had an ego clash with somebody. Or they were not, their importance was minimized, or I mean they were not given a sufficient, you know, importance to lead or something. So they just go away. So you find that this is sporadic, we call it. Sometimes they are like a glittering like a glow worm for a while. After that they vanish into the oblivion. They don't show up. We don't want that type of devotion service. We want consistent, steady, ongoing devotion service from up to the last breath. That's what we want. And that will happen when we come to Nishtha stage. Yeah, go ahead.
Taste at steady devotion up to asakti, though more reliable, is still influenced by the material mode of goodness. Therefore, higher authority should still confirm the guidance such taste offers.
See, even after you come to Nishtha stage, and then Ruchi, and then Asakti, these three are in Sattva Guna. Only Bhava is transcendental. Asakti also is almost transcendental. One transcends the Sattva also in Asakti stage. But these three, Nishtha, Ruchi and Asakti, one is still in goodness. So even at that time, one should confirm one's activities and guidance from authorities. Go ahead.
Only devotees who have reached the stage of transcendence have infallible taste. Yet, sometimes they too forego their preferred service in order to satisfy the Lord. Such was the case.
Like we studied about Priyavrat. His main taste was to be a renunciate. But for the sake of Supreme Lord, he was ready to give up that, forego that. Similarly, you find Prithu Maharaj wanted to somehow complete the 100th yajna. Generally, you know, imagine you collected 99 gold coins. So what would be itching for you? Just one more coin and I make it 100. Correct, no? And if somebody tells you at that time, no, you cannot do it, how painful it is, isn't it? You wonder, why not? And you may even tell the Lord that, no, okay, I will finish 100, but I will not fight for the post of Indra. No, he was ready to forego that, his favorite activity, yes.
Such was the case when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Nityanand Prabhu to give up the pleasure of his company in order to preach the Lord's message in Bengal. Yeah. In conclusion, if that which is pleasing to the heart, that which tastes right, runs contrary to the will of authority, it should be rejected.
Yeah. That means, even if it is pleasing to... Now, why did Nityananda Prabhu come to our Ratyatra in Puri, despite Mahaprabhu telling him to preach in Bengal? There is only one reason for it. He knew the internal desire in the heart of Mahaprabhu. He knew that. Actually, Mahaprabhu said, it is so important to preach there. Without you, all preaching will come to a halt in Bengal. Like that same time, Mahaprabhu desired that if Nityananda is here, how nice it will be for the Ratyatra. You know, we can, he will inspire all the devotees here also. So he understood, Nityananda understood that Mahaprabhu will be more pleased if I am here. Therefore he came to Jagannath Puri. So otherwise he is saying in conclusion, If something is pleasing to our heart, that which tastes right runs contrary to the will of the authority, it should be rejected. That means, even if we feel, I like something to do, but authority is not happy, then one should be ready to forego, even though it may be a little painful. Actually, there are innumerable examples for this, that one wanted to do something, but one was not qualified for it. Like, you know, Jagadananda Pandit wanted to go to Vrindavan. You know, was Mahaprabhu happy? Oh, Mahaprabhu straight away told him no. But later on he went to our Swarup Damodar, and he knew that Swarup Damodar is very intimate with Mahaprabhu. So through him he sought permission to go to Vrindavan. It's an example. Similarly, Balabhadra Bhattacharya wanted to go and watch the, Lord Krishna dancing on the Kaliya. Some Brahmanas were talking. Mahaprabhu lovingly gave a slap and didn't let him go. Correct, no? So sometimes the subordinate may have a desire to do something, you know, which may not be, like, you know, Raghunath Das wanted to surrender his life to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a little prematurely when his father, mother and, you know, everybody was behind him. So Mahaprabhu told him that don't be a Markata Vairagi, go home, manage your business externally, meditate on Krishna internally. Told him and he sent him back to home. So, and then he obeyed also. His desire was one thing, and Mahaprabhu's desire was another. So finally what he did? He obeyed Mahaprabhu. And later on, after receiving Nityananda's mercy, then Mahaprabhu accepted him. So these are examples of... Similarly, there are desires of others, like Gadadhar Pandit wants to go with Mahaprabhu, although he has taken Chaitra Sannyas. So there are many examples of where the disciples or devotees, they had one desire, their authority had another desire. But eventually they were ready to forego their personal desire. Just like we see Bhattacharya, he is fainting unconscious when Mahaprabhu is leaving for South India. Correct, no? But Mahaprabhu nevertheless had to go for the call of duty. He had to go. So that's what he is saying, that we should be willing to forego even a service of our taste if that is not pleasing to our authority. That's the point he is saying here. Next one.
For effectiveness, should authorities not offer that devotional method by which a man feels satisfaction and joy?
Now this is about the authority people. The first slide was about subordinate. Now here is about authority. So authority also should be bendable, flexible, adaptable, you know, and they should know, oh, he likes the service. So instead of me telling him no, let me encourage him. Correct? Now, can't they do that? Yeah, go ahead.
That said, Vaishnava authorities must be sensitive not to stifle devotees' genuine enthusiasm for specific services.
Stifle means what? Stifle means stop or put a blockage. For example, in a meeting some devotee says, Prabhu, can we do this? He comes with the idea. And if somebody says, what a stupid idea, Prabhuji. It will not work. If you say like that, it's like throwing cold water in the enthusiasm. Correct, no? Somebody's fire is coming, psh, you put water in that. Then that person will never ever give any more ideas. And he may not be able to do anything. So, especially when one is young, Krishna gives a lot of ideas for budding devotees also. Sometimes we can allow a person to try and, you know, I generally calculate how much money will be lost by this fellow's idea. We sometimes can allow them to waste little money and then understand that it doesn't work. And if you don't allow them to waste that money, they think that you have stifled them. They'll feel like that. So because, you know, it's good for a person to do some mistakes and learn from the mistakes and be satisfied that at least I was allowed to give a try, at least. Or maybe something wonderful may come up also. Yeah.
They should keep in mind Sanatana Goswami's instruction. Whatever the devotional method by which a man with true spiritual taste feels satisfaction and complete joy, that is the method saintly authorities deem most excellent and effective for him. It is not only the best of methods, but the very aim of his endeavor.
Here is quoting from Bhagavad Bhagavatamrita. He is saying that devotional service by which a man feels natural taste, natural satisfaction and complete joy in doing that service. So the authorities also see, oh, he fits very well in this. This is most excellent service for him. It's most effective for him. It matches his psychophysical nature, and also he is very enthusiastic. It's like two mangoes in one shot. He is happy about the service. He's satisfied. See, once you find a suitable service for a devotee, and he is very satisfied, happy, joyful, you can go for years together. Therefore, it is said, if you love a service, you don't have to work for a day. It is said. Because for you, work is not work. Work is fun. Work becomes fun for you. It why fun? It is simply joyful. Susukam kartam avayam. So therefore, authorities also see that, because what happens, for example, if I give you a service which you don't like, then I will have to follow you up. Correct, no? Because you don't like it, will you wholeheartedly do it? You will go a little bit and then you will sit there only, watching, and then I have to come and give you a key, and then you will go a little more distance and sit down. So if I give you a service of not your taste, lot of follow-up is required, lot of energy is required to get you out of inertia, and you will not have enthusiasm. I have to give you motivation also, motivation injection also I have to give you. It's not a very easy thing. On the contrary, Sanatana Goswami says that naturally if somebody has a liking feeling for a taste and they are satisfied and they are joyful, so authorities also generally what they do, that is the best method they give. Now he is explaining that. Read below.
Devotees inspired by their own feelings often support their reading of Krishna's Vraja pastimes, especially narrations of the rasa dance, with the argument, it's so pleasing to the heart. Yet His Divine Grace says that even if such narrations are pleasing, non-liberated souls should not hear them. Although these affairs may be very pleasing both to conditioned and to liberated souls, the conditioned souls should not try to hear them.
So he's giving an example here. Generally, even if a devotee has spent many years in the movement, sometimes the pastimes of gopis, there are many detailed pastimes where Lalita speaks and Vishakha speaks, you know, different Chitra speaks, Shaibya speaks, many gopis are speaking different things. Especially after the residence is over, when Krishna comes back, there is a lot of conversation and all. So some preachers may even memorize these dialogues, what Radha said, what Krishna said and all that. And it may appear to them, actually one of the kicks or the thrills they feel in remembering these things and repeating, the people who hear them think that they are very advanced. It makes them feel that they are very advanced. So that gives a subtle ahankara that I know better than others. That's one thing. And another thing, because it is actually an exchange between a young boy and young girls, one puts oneself in whose role? Krishna's role. And talking about all these beautiful girls' names, gopis, and what they spoke, how they expressed their loving attraction for Krishna. Actually, one imagines that so many girls are loving me. It's a very subtle thing. It's a very subtle thing. Because until we come to the stage of asakti, ruchi or asakti, you know, whatever pastimes of Radha, Krishna and all Leela we speak, it is tinged with some amount of lust. It is not pure actually. So it's very risky to speak such things of loving exchanges between Krishna and the gopis. So neither do we want ahankara arising from knowing knowledge which nobody else knows. Or we also don't want to tinge our bhakti with lust, subtle lust which we can't even detect with our own intelligence. So therefore Prabhupada said, even though you may like it, Prabhupada said one should not particularly read this Vraja pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. One may get bewildered by that. And it has happened to people. There are people who read such kinds of things and started speaking to congregation, you know, Prabhuji's, Mataji's speaking. And then when people speak such things, you know, then there is an imaginative thing. Some ladies become attracted to the Guruji also. They think Guruji is Krishna and we are all gopis. And Guruji is having rasa dance with them. And they have fallen down also. It comes in newspaper. You know, the so-and-so Guruji had rasa dance with his. And one such Guruji was put behind the bars for 20-year sentence. He is put 2 years ago, you might have read about it. He's a very popular Guruji. So when people do such kinds of things, then they are put behind the bars. You can see how shameful it is. You can see. Therefore, Prabhupada said, even though one may like certain sections, Actually, we are actually nourishing the roots of our tree of sense gratification by hearing such pastimes. It's not actually, we are supposed to cut the karma bandhana. Rather, we are watering the karma bandhana by studying. Although it is apparently spiritual. You understand, no? Yeah, next.
Since spontaneous devotion is the goal of Krishna consciousness, why should one be discouraged from doing what one feels right? Some devotees respond to this statement with the argument that the very substance of spontaneous devotion is to follow the inclination of one's heart, one's instinctive taste for service.
Instinctive. Sorry, see, now here the word spontaneous devotion. What is spontaneous devotion? Raganuga. So in Raganuga, it is said a person surpasses the scriptures. It is said, what is the meaning of surpassing scripture? Actually, the scriptures say you have to rise early in the morning. But imagine somebody is in the room, but he is crying tears continuously. Streams of tears are pouring because he is constantly, somehow or other, he chanted the holy names and he lost his control. Ashta Sadhavikar is manifesting between 4:30 to 7:30 or something in the morning. So see, such a person manifesting Ashta Sadhavikar couldn't come for Mangalarati. Is it all right or not? Why it is all right? Because the goal of Mangalarati is already accomplished. And that's what was happening with Mahaprabhu. One day Mahaprabhu got late, 5 o'clock or something. And Govinda said, my Lord, you always wish to go to temple in the morning. And Mahaprabhu cried. He said, Govinda, what have you done? I was in Vrindavan standing, and I was watching Krishna standing on the Govardhan hill surrounded by cows and calves and his friends. And all the gopis were plucking flowers, making garland to offer to Krishna. I was also plucking. You brought me here. Why did you get me out of that beautiful scene? And he loudly cried, Mahaprabhu. So now such a personality crying for Krishna, if he doesn't go for Mangalarati, it's all right or not? Yeah. All right, correct, no? Perfect it is. Because the goal of Mangalarati is already achieved. That's what he is saying. Those who are in spontaneous devotion, you know, even if they break the normal principles, what a neophyte is supposed to follow, then it is all right. No problem. But we should not artificially think that the very substance of spontaneous devotion is to follow. So these people follow the inclination of the heart. As it mentioned here, just like Ramananda Rai, he entered Jagannath Puri and directly came to Gambira. And Mahaprabhu asked, why are you coming here? You are supposed to go and take darshan of Jagannath. What Ramananda Rai said, my dear Lord, the chariot of my mind somehow drew me here to Gambira to meet you. And it is not in my control, he said. That means what type of devotee he is? Raganuga devotee. Raganuga devotees find their mind is like a chariot which helplessly drags them to one particular taste of serving Krishna. And they are not in control. They have lost the control from Raganuga onwards. That happens from Bhava onwards. Like Asakti, Bhava, Prema. So because we are not in that stage, can we say, Prabhuji, my chariot also is going in a one direction. Our chariot is called the Manorath. Correct, na? Manorathena asati davato bahir. Correct, na? Whereas the manorath of the pure devotees, that is actually pulled by the divine couple, Radha and Krishna, they are pulling. We should not artificially pretend. That's what he is saying. The very substance of Raganuga bhakti is to follow the inclination of our heart. Because that time our inclination and Krishna's inclination is same. Yeah. Therefore, then one's instinctive taste for service. Like for example, take Shyamananda Pandit. He was told by Jiva Goswami, take a jadu, take a broomstick and go and, you know, sweep in the Seva Kunj. So every day he was sweeping in the Seva Kunj. My specialist was saying in one lecture, in those days the jadus used to be very small, not like nowadays. We have long one nowadays. So when you are doing like this, lot of dust would arise in Vrindavan. Vrindavan has a very soft sand. So naturally anybody would cough with so much of dust. But every day he did that service very faithfully, loyally. And there were tears were falling on the ground when he was doing the service because, you know, I've got a seva to clean the place where Radha and Krishna along with gopis are going to come and dance. So when he was doing the service, one day he found the Nupur of Radharani and then he understood that it is must be Radharani's thing. And then one of the gopis came and asked, he said, I want to give to Radharani, please tell her. Then when she went and told Radharani, beautifully manifested under a tree, in her swarupa form, effulgent form, shining like suns with all her beautiful ornaments and dresses and everything. So he gave it to her, and he found himself also changing into a gopi in his siddha deha. And then he gave her this thing, and then she became very pleased. With same Nupur, she put a particular kind of tilak and touched his head and said, "Since you gave me happiness, my name is Shyama and you gave me Ananda. So your name will be Shyamananda Pandit." So he got a new name, he got a new tilak and all these things. It's all awarded by internal potency, Srimati Radharani, isn't it? So in such a situation, now he is exactly doing what Radharani is telling him to do, isn't it? So that is Raganuga. So we cannot imitate that in our stage. Go ahead, Prabhu.
Since spontaneous devotion is the goal of Krishna consciousness, we should not be discouraged from doing what feels right.
Like that some people say, yeah. Yeah.
Our previous acharyas address this argument. They substantiate the point that even spontaneous practice must follow the authorized methods given by sages in scripture. Jiva Goswami, for example, writes, "The state of being an unalloyed devotee of the Lord is attained by having faith in devotional service. A person attracted to Lord, Ruchi, naturally respects the rules and regulations described in the scriptures. Attraction to the Lord is very rare. A person who has no respect for the rules and regulations of the scriptures and yet thinks himself as an unalloyed devotee is merely a proud hypocrite."
Like that Jiva Goswami says in Bhakti Sandarbha, Anucheda 3.12, which means he is a sahajya, one who takes the bhakti very cheaply. That means he is not following he doesn't have respect for the rules and regulations of scriptures, but he imagines himself to be having attraction, spontaneous attraction for Krishna. That means he is prematurely trying to imagine himself to have achieved the taste and attachment and attraction like ruchi, asakti and bhava. So these are people who tend to become independent of the authorities and then they get lost. Yeah, next.
What should a devotee do when taste runs contrary to the will of authority? Spontaneous does not mean whimsical. It does not mean that conditioned souls can simply do whatever they feel is right. More often than not, such action will prove wrong. But the emotions and consequent behavior of devotees send persons sheltered by the spiritual energy at the platform of bhava or prema always conform to the teaching of authorities.
Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatri ki vidim vina, Aikanti ki harer bhaktir, Utpataya iva kalpate, says. So you will find even people in bhava and prema stage, they will not act in a way that will create doubts of the people in society. And they will not act. He says that they will always conform to the authorities. There is one verse, Yanastayanaro Rajan, Na Pramadyeta Karhyachet, Dhavan Munvilyavanetre, Na Patet, Na Skalediha. It's a long canto verse, beautiful verse. He is saying, Yanastayanaro Rajan, he is saying, "Oh great king, when a devotee is following the path of devotional service, even if he is like a blindfolded man who is running very fast, he will not slip, he will not fall," he is saying. So in that purport, very beautiful point is mentioned. The two eyes are compared to Shruti and Smriti. But if somebody is blindfolded, that means he doesn't know the rules of Shruti and Smriti because he is illiterate, he is uneducated. So he is unable to read the books of the spiritual master. So for such a person, if he performs devotional service, he will never slip, he will never fall. And the reason he says why? Because teshame vanukampartam ahamajnanajam tamaha nashayam yatma bhavasto jnanadipena bhasvata. Krishna says, for such a devotee who is sincerely practicing, I will give him knowledge where? In his heart. I will destroy the darkness and give him knowledge. So there in the purport it is written that Lord gives knowledge in the heart. He doesn't read the books because he is incapable of reading the books and understanding. But most important thing comes here. Taking this type of verses, the Sahajya say, see, For me, Krishna is giving knowledge where? In my heart. So I don't have to follow these books. I don't have to follow your procedure. Our Lord is telling me to do some things. So in order to counteract this false premise, what they have said, the knowledge which the Lord gives in the heart exactly matches with what is in the books. Like you can see Gauri Kishore Das Babaji. Huh? You know, he used to have two books with him. Prema Bhakti Chandrika and another one, Sharanagati. Krishna and Sharanagati, I think. Is it? Yeah. So he used to read these poems from these books. Otherwise, he was not a very big scholar. He was not a big scholar. He used to read this Vaishnava songs only. Because he knew that these books contained all the conclusions. So he was very perfectly aware of the conclusions. Although he may not be quoting from very, very big Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra and all that. But he was very aware of conclusions. So the devotee who is getting wisdom from Krishna in the heart, his wisdom inside matches with the what? Guru Sadhu Shastra. Not that he becomes Sahajyayik and says, Lord is guiding me, I will do whatever I want, I will dress like a gopi, you know, I will become a Sahajya, you know, and then they become Sahajyayik. There are people in Vrindavan, you find they wear a peacock feather on the head. There are people who wear Harinam Chadar like a sari. There are so many things people do like that. So these are all unacceptable. Because he's saying that it should, like he's saying, where did you, which is the last one you read? Confirm, yeah, confirm to the teachings of authorities, correct. Next one.
In other words, they spontaneously know the right thing to do. This is because the same spiritual potency from which the sacred words of revealed scripture flows empowers advanced devotees.
There are two roads in which you attain Krishna. One is just following the authorities in the line, you attain Krishna. And there is another route where you go in the Vaidhi Bhakti route and then you take another road, spontaneous. But the spontaneous road which you take is not contrary to the route given by the authorities. That's what he is saying. Because the spiritual potency, which the sacred words of revealed scripture, that and what empowerment they get from the heart, both match. It's very important. Like some of us may have a question, sometimes I feel like doing this, is it alright? How do I know I am acting properly? Confirm with Guru Sadhu Shastra, very simple. Next.
All devotees should learn to be perfect followers of their authorities and not imitate empowerment in Ruchi in Raganuga. Those who imitate this empowerment, however, are Sahajiyas. No devotee may take cheaply the exalted states of spontaneous devotional service. Rather, all devotees should learn to be perfect followers of their authorities. When the heart of the devotee is completely pure, he or she will spontaneously know what the authorities desire. These answers reconcile the argument traditionally called, if it feels good, do it.
So, there are instances where a subordinate could not confirm with the authority what they exactly want him to do. But nevertheless, they read the right thing. For example, Ramanuja, he came fastly rushing to meet his guru Yamunacharya. But Yamunacharya had passed away and his three fingers were like this. So when Ramanuja told, I will give one name of my disciple as Parashara, like that one finger came out, correct, no? And what the second thing he said? I will write three Bhashya. Then second finger came like this. And then third he said? I will spread the bhakti cult all over, three fingers. That means, even without Guru telling him what is to be done, he exactly spelled out the Guru's wish. That's what he is saying. So in this way, when one comes to the Raganuga stage, spontaneous stage, one's actions will be in line with the authority's desire, and even without authority spelling it out, they will know it actually. This is what will be pleasing to them. If I do this, it will be pleasing. Like Nityanand Prabhu, I told you. He came for Ratayatra knowing well what Mahaprabhu will find it pleasing. He like that he is saying. Not that, you know, I feel it good so I will do it. No. Yeah.
What are the primary symptoms of taste in a devotee? There are two primary symptoms of the stage of Ruchi. First, all impediments to chanting and hearing such as fatigue and hunger are no longer visible.
That we find in our Parikshit Maharaj. Earlier he was thirsty for water, therefore he put a dead snake around the neck of Samyak Rishi. But now, 7 days, did he drink water? Did he eat food? Did he sleep? So, all day, all night he was awake and no water, no food. So, because of not taking in anything, was his enthusiasm diminished? No, you will find. In fact, he says that in one of the shlokas, my enthusiasm is ever increasing. Isn't it? He says that I have, you know, na badate, he's saying. Chitam harikatamritam. Your katamrita is giving me food, I mean nourishment. I don't need any ordinary food or water or rest or something like that. In fact, he says, don't cut short the pastimes because I have not eaten or something. So in this way, he is saying that the fatigue and hunger go away and all impediments to chanting and hearing those five things we said, you know, laya, vikshepa, apratipati and kashaya, rasaswa, they all go away. Yeah. And that way then you can know a person has come to ruchi stage. Yes.
And second, an insatiable appetite for even seemingly insignificant devotional practices awakens.
Even for simple, small devotional practice, one may have an insatiable appetite. So you will find this in very exalted devotees, even offering a small flower to the Lord, or even getting an opportunity to do a julan for Lord sitting on the jula, or getting an opportunity to take darshan of the Lord, or getting little mahaprasada of the Lord like Amrita Keli or something. The devotees feel so much ecstasy even in the small acts of devotion. Actually, many times what happens, we also do the same activities of devotion, we go through the motion, but we don't feel the ecstasy because the external activities are same, but the consciousness with which it is done is different. Like the old Orison lady was taking darshan of Jagannath. Correct, no? But she felt ecstasy. South Indian Brahmana was reciting Bhagavad Gita and was feeling ecstasy. We also read Bhagavad Gita regularly. The activity is same. But you can see, similarly the Brahmana of southern Mathura, you know, he was reading Ramayana and he was in ecstasy. He actually felt that, you know, Sita is the one who is cooking and Lakshman is bringing all the ingredients, and after that only we'll be, Lord Ram will eat and then we will all eat. Mahaprabhu said, your mode of cooking is very wonderful, very powerful. Mahaprabhu understood this fellow, he is entered into Ramayana fully. Kulashekara also felt ecstasy when he heard the katha. So you will find that there are people like our Pratapurudra is taking a broomstick and sweeping in front of Lord Jagannath's temple. Tuchya Seva is doing. And is feeling great ecstasy in doing that. Lakshmiji in the Vaikuntha planet, she is taking Sammarjati by Adhanugrahaninna Yatna. You know, it's a very simple activity. Once my special master in one lecture was telling that, you know, picking up a jadu and doing, even a child can do that. That activity is such a simple activity. But Lakshmi was doing it with great devotion. Similarly, Kanchipurna is taking a chamar. You know, even a child at home can take a chamar and do this, isn't it? It's not a very difficult. So in the path of Bhakti Yoga, the activities are all simple and easy to execute. What is most difficult is to bring our consciousness. Do it with devotion, do it with love. Kanchipurna, every day he used to do chamar for the Lord. But he would lovingly do it. With the desire to fan the Lord, that was his desire. In the same manner, Lakshmi is sitting at the feet of the Lord and massaging his feet. So everybody, all the devotees are doing some apparently simple, very easy to do, execute activities. Similarly, you find Damayanti, Raghava Pandit. Raghava Pandit and Damayanti, correct? What was their favorite activity to do? Cooking. Very special items. And they would put everything in jholi, they call it. Raghavera jholi. And then lot of devotees would carry them. Many, many boxes that they would cook. And Mahaprabhu loved their cooking very much. So, it's one service. Somebody is doing just cooking. Similarly, Mahaprabhu saw, he told Satyaraj Khan, and Kulinagram people that you people make very nice pillows for Jagannath. So my request to you, every year if you can give these pillows for keeping Jagannath before he goes to the chariot, correct, no? Till death they are doing it. You go to Jagannath Puri, the same family lineage is coming. You know, generation after generation, there are 2000 families involved there in Jagannath Puri temple. You will find they are regularly doing the services. Whatever were told to them, generation after generation, they are doing like that. Similarly, so in this way you will find the service may be very simple. They may already have a business of, textile business and pillow making business. But then when it comes to giving for the Lord, they do it with great devotion. So in this way we can think about who all did what services with great devotion. Like Raghunandan Thakur fed the Lord some laddu with great devotion that Krishna had to accept. He couldn't say no to him, isn't it? So that's what he is saying here, that even seemingly insignificant devotional practice, and that awakens an insatiable appetite for the devotee. Yeah. Yes, go ahead. Now Narada is now describing to Prachina Parishad. Tasmin Mahan Mukadita Madhubicharitra. Piyusha Shesha Saritaha Paritaha Shravanti. Taye Pibanta Vitrusho Andrupagadha Karnair. Tan nas prishan tashanatrad bhayashoka moha.
My dear king, in the place where pure devotees live, following the rules and regulations and thus purely conscious and engaged with great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in that place, if one gets a chance to hear their constant flow of nectar, which is exactly like the waves of a river, one will forget the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation and illusion.
So, actual purpose is material program means eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That's material program. And advancing in spiritual life means one forgets it. One is simply thrilled by devotional activities. Yeah, next.
Absorption in the stage of ruchi is still not fully free from influence of false ego. Devotees at ruchi are so absorbed in the taste of their devotional practices that while chanting and hearing about Krishna, they sometimes lose track of who they are.
That much ecstasy they feel in chanting, the taste they feel, yes.
Of course.
That means, you know, we say na deha smriti. They don't even remember their material identities. They completely forget. Like Ramananda Rai, did he think I am governor of Madras? Was he in their consciousness? He was always the conscious of Vishakasaki. Correct, no? So that is their... like Murari Gupta, did he think that I am a doctor? I am giving treatment? Was he thinking like that? What was his consciousness?
Hanuman.
He always thought of himself to be a Rama Bhakta. Now Kolavacha also, Kolavacha Sridhar, in dealing with Nimaya Pandit, you know, these are all pure devotees, Shuklambar Brahmachari. So you will see that they forget the material identification, although they may have a profession, they may be just doing the profession superficially, but they didn't identify with it. Pratapudra, did he think, I am the king of Orissa? He didn't think like that. He thought himself, he said, I will wear a ivory ring in my ears and, you know, become a mendicant. If that's what will make Mahaprabhu give me his mercy. He was ready to become a monk and give up his kingly post. So in this way he is saying that devotee in ruchi can be so absorbed that the sarva upadhi. Next point.
Of course, this kind of merging is apparent and has nothing to do with the false aspirations of the Mayavadis. The fortunate state.
Actually, what is this one he is saying here? Actually, in one of the stages, a devotee who becomes very advanced in ruchi, he imitates the Lord's pastimes. Like, for example, Prahlada also used to imitate. How they imitate? Like, you know, when he is thinking of the Lord, he may laugh to himself. He may try to play on a flute. You know, he may try to laugh like the Lord. Why they do that? because they become influenced by the Lord's behavior. If you want to understand this even more well, sometimes people who watch certain movies, they are too much fascinated by the heroine or the hero. When they come back, they act out and show how the hero acted. One time in South India, this fellow, one of the actors, Rajinikanth, so he used to, you know, throw a cigarette like this and then catch like this. And that became such a fashion. For the next dozen years, I can say, at least 10, 12 years, all the small kids would do that. They would throw a pen and catch like this. You know. So, this is how the hero did. Same with pure devotees. That is a perverted reflection of Krishna's devotees. Correct? Huh? When Krishna's devotees imitate Krishna, see, this is the way Krishna would trick. This is the way he would joke. This is the way he would play on his flute. So, they imitate. And the karmis are doing same thing with some false hero, heroine they are doing. But originally, the pure devotees, although they imitate Krishna like playing on the flute or putting a peacock feather, he wears like this, he looks, he stands like this. So they are not actually trying to become like Mayavadis. It is out of love they imitate Krishna's pastimes. Yeah. Yes.
Of course, this kind of merging is apparent and has nothing to do with the false aspirations of the Mayavadis. The fortunate state of Ruchi spiritualizes almost completely the egocentric principles of I-ness and minus, and thus the general conduct of devotees so absorbed is nearly perfect.
That means I-ness minus of Dehatma Buddhi, Mamata Buddhi goes away. Instead they think, I am Krishna's servant and Krishna is mine. That kind of feeling comes. That means one is spiritualized. If that consciousness is not there, then one thinks, I am great, you know, and my family, my business, my car, that goes away. Yes. Next.
Still, the influence of false ego, although substantially reduced, is still present and is visible in two ways. As attachment to the happiness of devotion and in the presence of unwanted habits caused by offenses.
Sukham comes from sattva guna, no? That sukham can sometimes become an impediment. One becomes complacent in happiness. That is one big impediment. Another impediment, he says, is still the effect of the offense is not fully nullified up to the stage of prema. Yeah. I think last slide, I think. Yeah.
Impediments due to goodness in ruchi stage. As an example of the first, Lord Krishna says, goodness conditions one to happiness. Sattvam sukhe sanjayati. The constantly increasing happiness devotees feel at the stage of ruchi is such a vivid contrast to the hardship and struggle they underwent at the stage of unsteady devotion that they are sometimes distracted by the revelries of their newfound achievement.
They delight. They delight in the sweetness they derive by bhakti, and because of that, sometimes in relishing their success, in relishing the joy of devotional service, sometimes they may become stuck in happiness. For example, in South India, I have seen people, you know, the early morning they will get up and go to the river and take a bath and come, they will put chandan and kumkum, and all the temples they will have this different now Vishnu Sahasranam going on, you know, this Venkatesa Suprabhatam going on, and all the roads you go. I am saying when I was a small school going kid, it was like that. Everywhere people would be oozing with goodness. So much of goodness people, and people would be very kind to each other, very respectful, polite. And they would treat even other people like their own family members. So in such a situation, to make them chant Hare Krishna would be very difficult for us. Because they are already very happy. You tell them the four regs, they will say, what is this new thing we are already following? The four regular principles are very common. Very commonly people follow. They cannot even dream of smoking or drinking or anything like that. And they are going to some temple, ringing a bell, chandan, kumkum, everything is there. Very pious and respectful, polite. So that gives a kind of the goodness. I am not talking about ruchi stage. I am talking about general goodness. The general goodness itself gives... even we all will experience when you try to practice sattva guna during the period of sattva, you will feel a kind of stability, a state of steadiness and a state of peace. Even in our ashram life, we can experience that. Like, you know, you take proper amount of prasadam, you know, you take proper amount of sleep. Yukta ahara viharasya, yukta cheshasya karmasu. How many of you feel the gadi is going smoothly? You have experience of that? Correct, no? Correct, no? And the gadi can go on for months and years. Huh? And you feel, I am in spiritual world. Huh? And there doesn't seem to be any big problem. Huh? And also in goodness, there is no much ego tussle also. And ego tussle is more in passion, correct, no? You know, you are very, if two devotees, you know, one devotee comes to me and says, another devotee says that, Prabhuji, you know, you did like this, Prabhuji, because of this. And the other devotee will immediately become, sorry, Prabhuji. And I will take care, I will not do this in future. You know, I behaved with you in such a way that this problem was caused you. Then is there any quarrel? If both are Trinadapi, no problem at all. Isn't it? So in mode of goodness you find, therefore he says, tap na tapai avibhuyate gunadikan. Madam lip says, anukrosham gunadamar, maitrim samanad anviche na tapai avibhuyate. So the adibhautika klesh almost becomes nil for a devotee in sattva-guna. Life becomes very like a cakewalk. You wonder, are Krishna consciousness is such a wonderful life? Why the whole world is so foolish? Why can't they live this life? You feel like that. But what happens? There is one big blunder that happens in this situation. We fail to see that I have not yet attained prema. The hankering for prema is not there. In ruchi itself, one thinks, that's all I need. But asakti, bhava, prema, still some more steps to go. So one doesn't make efforts to grow in spiritual life. But one is just going through life. Without growing, yeah. Yes?
An example of the second visible symptom of conditioning.
And the second is by the offenses. One is by the sukham badnati, and the second one is offenses, yeah.
An example of the second visible symptom of conditioning is the presence of unbecoming thoughts due to past offenses. Devotees at the stage of ruchi systematically cultivate their chanting of the holy name. And they feel a relish that empowers them to absorb their minds in the wonders of chanting. Still, the effects of offenses continue to haunt them. Like persons trying to run waist deep in water, the results of their practices are disproportionate to their efforts.
Yeah. He's saying that in the stage of ruchi, the old offenses that we have committed, and that haunts us to some degree. It's not a very big degree. It doesn't hamper your practice of devotional service. At the same time, it keeps visiting the effects. Until one gets the Bhagavad Darshanam, till that point, the offenses are not fully nullified. He's saying like persons trying to run waist deep in water, the results of the practices are disproportionate to their efforts. Actually, when... what is the meaning of disproportionate? See, the beauty of ruchi is with a little efforts you get big results in devotional service. Unlike before nishtha. Before nishtha it's a big struggle. But after ruchi, with little endeavor, you get a very big result. Just like imagine if water is only waist deep, like in Chandrabhaga. Is it easy to take bath or is it you have some fear? Very easy. Huh? So, therefore, even our new boys, you can take them to Chandrabhaga, no problem. There's no fear of drowning, isn't it? It's only up to waist deep. So, in the practice of devotion service becomes very easy, but still the effect of the offenses, time to time visit, and sort of reminding us, hey, I'm not gone yet, I'm still there. The effect of the... So, what are the effects of offenses? Sometimes, because we have committed offense in the past, some dryness, some hatred, some of the old vasanas can revisit even in nishtha stage. Of course, one beauty of nishtha is one becomes steady. Because prior to the nishtha stage, there is no steadiness also, which is the most dangerous stage. At least the nishtha and ruchi are very steady states. One is not going to give up devotion service so easily. So I am stopping here. The next class, I will complete this series. Yes. Okay.
Sundarshambhu is asking, it's easier to avoid seeing others' wrong behavior or speech but not so much of those whom we train as their servant. What to do?
Yeah. Actually, therefore, these kind of evaluations which are mentioned here should be applied on ourselves if we are really keen to grow in spiritual life. Because, for example, say, I diagnose you and tell you, who is going to grow? You will grow. But how will I grow? Correct, no? If I have to grow in my devotion service, I have to take a look at myself. So our own heart is like a laboratory, apparatus. And then this kind of wisdom which we are achieving now, with this perspective we can see the heart. So we have to, in fact, even fault finding also, to the degree we find fault in ourselves, we have a chance to grow. But if somebody is subordinate to us and we are their spiritual guardian, then we can find fault for their benefit, which is the additional service that we are doing. The main service is we have to clean our own hearts. And that is, we have come into spiritual life for that purpose only. In the same manner, all these items which I mentioned here, for example, somebody is not steady in speech, somebody is not steady in behavior. What is the use of our knowing it? Kalau dosha nidhe, Rajan, he says, no? Kaliyuga is full of false, is an ocean of faults. So it's not going to help us much in knowing someone's fault. Actually, why I will find fault, I will tell you. I am very keen to point out the faults in people who are under me, in my guidance, or in very close touch with me, and they need my guidance and they will get help. Because tomorrow I would like to see them flourish. And just as I want to flourish in my devotion life, I want to see them flourish also. And if I keep telling them, see, you have did this, you should avoid this, you should avoid this, avoid this, then I find they are shining like a diamond. And it has become, many have become like that. So that means our pointing out faults in those who are very close to us should be with the good desire of, removing the thorns and making them shine. With that we can do, but that is not the only goal. The main goal should be, when I read this book and studied and all, I have been applying in my heart and seeing where am I lacking, how can I improve. The first priority is that. And after we improve, then we can share with others also. Correct, no? Otherwise, if we become outwardly oriented, then we go around correcting everybody and then we don't make an effort to improve ourselves. Then we become like Ramachandra Puri only. Correct, no? Then that's good for nothing. It won't help. In fact, my spiritual master even said that. To the degree we make an effort to look at our own faults and improve, to that degree we are empowered to help others. Like that he said. That means others will take your help seriously, to the degree you are really, really endeavoring to modify your own life. He said. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.
Entering Dwaraka.